Ephesians chapter number 3, if you will. Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight, and we'll be turning to verse number 20. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 are our radio verses. We, as far as I know, had those the first year, had to use that verse. And the Lord did exactly what that verse says the very first year, exceeding abundantly above. And God's been doing it ever since. And so I don't think we ought to change horses in the middle of the creek, do you? I think we ought to stay with what we know works. We know that God's able, and that's what this passage talks about, and that's what this passage deals with. And so take your Bible and stand with me, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, and in verse number 20. I want to ask you to do something, again, unusual. We never do, but we're going to have some churches you go, they do a lot of reading in unison, but I'm going to count down, and then we're going to read verse 20 and verse 21. 3, 2, 1. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, would you help us now? Lord, would you help us to just graze the surface of the depths of these verses. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. And Lord, may we see the Lord Jesus high and lifted up, not only today, but in the days ahead. We plead the blood over the Sherathon, not only the goals, but Lord, for the Spirit of God might meet with us. Lord, you people come with our cups turned up. Lord, we need something from heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd satisfy us by your amazing grace in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. I'm going to see if I can spend a little bit more time in my outline. We started out this morning talking about the greatness of God and how that the Apostle Paul, in verse number 20, revealed the greatness of God the Father for the Christians in Ephesus. And can I say, not just to the Christians in Ephesus, but he reveals the greatness of God the Father for Christians everywhere, worldwide. And he begins to say something about the magnitude of God's ability. Look in verse number 20, the magnitude of God's ability for the saints. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. So exceeding ability, and Paul magnifies his exceeding ability to provide. This morning we talked about his present ability. Now we talked about his personal ability. Now unto him. We talked about his practical ability. Now unto him that is able to do. But I want to take just a moment, and I've almost obsessed over these phrases, over these words, and because they're so interesting. Typically, words are linear. And so, when I mean that, they follow each other in a row. So, exceeding, abundant, and then above. When you stack those books in that order, they're linear. Exceeding, abundantly, above. But the Greek language has a unique way of building upon itself. We do that. We would say the big, beautiful red sunset. And so all of those things, one builds upon the other. The language is the same thing. So rather than those being linear in a row, flatten them out. Exceeding, abundantly, above. All we can ask or think. Every one of them is taking us to a higher level. Each time we're not, it's not linear. Where instead it's moving vertical, all right? And so it gets bigger and it gets higher every time that you say it. And there's some things that are pretty interesting in this. We use a phrase. If I were to say, don't give Morgan any code red Mountain Dew because it makes him hyper. Everybody in the room but Morgan would know what that meant, all right? Everybody would know what that meant. Everybody would know exactly what that meant. And it makes him hyper. Well, it's spelt the same way, but it's actually pronounced in the Greek language, pronounced hooper. But it's the same word. It's the same, very same word as hyper. And there's a number of ways you could translate it, a number of ways that you could, but that's the word when it says exceeding. It's hyper. Hyper. That's the word. That's the Greek word. You understand Greek. You know that part of it. It's hyper. And then it says something else. So the word hyper means to go beyond. It means to surpass, excel, to outdo, the superior thing to hyper. But then it says this. He says exceeding abundantly. Now, the word abundant is a big word. And it's in itself, it's a great big word. But it goes beyond just the great big word. And they put a prefix on it. It's not just abundant. It is, the prefix ek is put on it. It would be the same for us in English, ex, E-X. And so if we were to say excellent or exceeding, it's the same thought, okay? And the idea behind the EX prefix is it's out of, it's above. You know what I'm saying? If it succeeded, then it's just met the qualifications. But if it exceeded, what did it do? It went above succeed, didn't it? It went to the next level. It took it to the... Well, that's prefix is used on the word. And so it's not just abundance, but it's out of abundance. It's not just super, hyper abundance. It's bigger than that. It's hyper out of, over and above abundance is the phrase. That's the hyperousos, is the term, ekperousos. And it means to be over and above the abundance. And then here's the interesting thing. God repeats himself. And God don't do that too often. But the phrase, if we were to, and I'm not trying to impress you, because Allah got a strong concordance, and you got one too. But the phrase, if you were to pronounce it, it would be uper ekperisos uper. But the idea behind it is it's hyper out of the abundance, hyper. It's the super out of the abundance, super. In other words, it is a sandwich. How many like Oreos? How many like the double stuffed Oreos? They ain't made it yet, but this is a quadruple millionth Oreo, all right? I'm talking about it's got so much stuff in the middle that you have one cookie to the bag, okay? You get one to the pack. That's all you got because it's so heavy you can't carry it. That's the Oreo that I'm talking about. Can I say to you that there is a, hallelujah, an abundant sandwich that God is making? I'm talking about it's above on the beginning, it's above on the end, it's over and above in the middle, hallelujah, it's everything. Listen, every single one of these words means, primero, number one, it means the first place, the highest term of comparison. Every single one of the words means that in and of itself. So I can say it this way. It's the first of the first, which is the first. How about that? Does that excite you? That's what God's able to do? Above and be, say, well, preacher, you act like you can't get it out. You're right, because our minds won't get around it. We can't understand how big God is. We can't understand how God is able to do all of that, exceeding abundantly above. And then he says this phrase, above all that we ask or think. But that's exactly who God is. And that is exactly how God works. And you think about what I'm going to say. Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome so bad. He always wanted to go to Rome. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote the Roman epistle while in Corinth on his first tour. I believe I'm right. With his second visit to Corinth. Our second visit to Europe, first time to Corinth. He wrote the book of the Romans. And he talked about coming to them and talked about wanting to go to them. The problem is, if he had went to them, he'd have told them what he wanted them to hear. Spirit of God would have inspired him to say what he wants, but we wouldn't have had it. But he mentions being hindered. I was trying to think where he says that. About Romans 10, there he talks of Romans 1:10 is where he talks about desiring to go to them. But there's somewhere in the book of Romans, and I don't know exactly where it's at, that he talks about being hindered. I do know this. Philippians, he told the Philippian church, he said to them, he said, I would that you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I wanted to go in person, but instead, God give me an all expense paid boat ride. It was in handcuffs, but it still was all expense paid. But here's the amazing part. If he had went to Rome on his own, he might have gotten near the palace. He might have seen it in the distance. But you see, he was considered a prisoner of Nero himself. If I can say it this way, he was in federal prison. He wasn't in the county jail. He was in the federal penitentiary. And as a result of that, he had to do with Nero's household and Nero's own personal guards. The Praetorian Guard were the ones that guarded Nero, and they were also the ones that guarded the federal prisoners. And Scripture says that he got to witness to those people. And the Scripture says that because of his bonds, he got to preach on a daily basis. Can you imagine that? They come in and they unlock the key at shift change, and they lock a Roman soldier, you know, to the Apostle Paul, and he says to the soldier, he said, all right, the soldier says to Paul, where are we going to study at today, Paul? He said, well, all right, let's start. Where did we get to yesterday? I've had three shifts of soldiers since then. Where did I get to yesterday? Well, you got over there and you got to telling us about this and that. Oh, yeah, okay, let me take up right there. And then this happened and this, and he's training these guards. They're a captive audience. They can't go nowhere. He can't go nowhere, but they can't go nowhere. They're there for the shift. And they were getting paid to be taught the Bible. And not only them, but everybody else that come in contact with. And the very gospel that the Apostle Paul was on trial for preaching infiltrated and penetrated into the very household of Nero, into some people that served him. Can I say Ford's not the only one with a better idea? You see, Paul had a desire, and God said, no, but if you do it your way, it's not going to have near the effect. But if you'll do it my way, it's going to have long-lasting effects. And so that's exactly what the Lord did. The Lord halted his progress, did not allow him to go further westward. And so when he finally went on what some would call the fourth missionary journey, which was actually the imprisonment and on the way through Melita and up by in that direction, it was through his imprisonment. We have the book of the Ephesians, the one we're reading out of. We have the book of Philippians. We have the book of Colossians. We have the book of Philemon. The prison epistles are all pinned, chained to a Roman guard. And for all we know, they may have been doing the writing. Because if he had bad eyesight, then because others were the penmen. We know that. He did the dictation. Others were the penmen. So I just want to say it this way. I'm so glad God's got a bigger idea than we do. I'm so glad God sees tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month. I'm so glad that that God does not limit his blessing based upon based on what we want and based on what our ask is. You know, we've had some doors closed in the past. I wanted to build a satellite so bad. We talked about it. We presented it. We were in plans. And we got blocked twice. We first got blocked by the phone company. See, there was a 5 gigahertz come right over top of our heads. And it went from Bavard to a little place called Shuford Mountain. And from Shuford Mountain, it went to a tower down near Miss Kraft's house. And that was the long distance link for Transylvania County. And when I talked about putting a satellite dish up, immediately that raised red flags because we were right over our heads. And they said, y'all will cause interference to them. You can't do that. You can't have that. You can't do that. It's not going to work. And the engineer said, well, we can work around that. He said, but we got a bigger problem. And I said, a bigger problem in the phone company? Fighting a public utility? A bigger problem than that? He said, yeah, I got a bigger problem than that. I said, what's that? He said, Department of Defense. I said, yeah, that is a bigger problem, isn't it? Utility Commission of North Carolina, that's one thing. FCC, that's one thing. Department of Defense, that's another thing. I said, what Department of Defense? He said, tracking station. They have flagged that frequency as one of the frequency that is not allowed. You're in Transylvania County, you're within so many miles of their facility, and you're not allowed to broadcast anything in the space, period. Shut us down. I said, well, give us the frequencies. They said, we'd have to kill you. If we give them, we have to kill you. I said, well, dude, don't, you keep them to yourself. It's okay. It's fine. I won't worry about it. They shut us down in our tracks. And it was almost humiliation because we were about sure that that's what God wanted, was us to reach America. I mean, we just sure of it. And Lamar come in one day and talking about the World Wide Web. I said, what is that? He said, well, it's a... And I didn't make more understand what he said. And finally one day, when nobody's around, I said, come in here in the live studio. I said, sit down. He said, I said, now speak English. First grade English. And tell me what the World Wide Web is. He said it started out with the Department of Defense, and then it branched into universities, and it was how universities exchanged data. I said, what's data? And he told me, and he said it's what they'd exchange data with, and he said it's digital. I said, what's digital? He said it's zeros and dots. It's dashes and dots, like Morse code. And I said, and they can send sound over that. He said, oh, yeah. He said, matter of fact, they can send pictures over that. I said, come on. Like Jed Clampett, you're greening me. He said, no, they can. It takes a little while for it to be fill in. But, yeah, they can send a digital picture over that. He says, all still very slow, but said, the day will come that everybody in America will have access to the World Wide Web. And I thought, that'll be the day. How many of you have access to the World Wide Web? It is the day. We're living in the day. And so God closed a window of satellite, but those big old dishes were going to the scrapyard anyway. We didn't know it at the time. And only a select few could have them. But my friend, now everybody's got a... I mean, I'm talking about, I saw a guy in Egypt talking on a smartphone riding a camel. I saw a house on the Altiplano that did not have electricity that has a solar panel on the roof for the purpose of charging their smartphone. Did you know that Bolivia never built copper telephones? It's too far. It's too expensive. They didn't even build it. Mike Overton told me in the 90s, he said, I need a digital telephone. Good used digital telephone. Send me a digital telephone. And I said, Mike, what are you talking about, digital telephone? He said, I don't need no analog. I need a digital telephone. I said, man, we ain't even got digital telephones here. Well, you believe you ain't got no digital telephones? He said, yeah, they do. I said, no, they don't. They don't have digital telephones. You know, come to find out, they didn't build an analog cellular system. They skipped it. They went instead and built digital cellular all over that country and created a phone system and an internet system that's still working today. And we call them a third world country. I can't talk between here and town without it cutting out. And you'd better lean across Little Mountain, and you sure don't want to go up King Road. You'll drop your call every time. But down there, literally, they got dirt floors. They have smoke, a rocks, and they have a campfire in the middle of the house. It goes out a chimney in the middle, and they have got a solar panel on the roof for the purpose of charging their cell phones. They sleep on a dirt floor. I tell the truth and lie not. It's a fact. And if they have that phone and they have internet, they have the ability to watch what I'm saying right now by the touch of a button. You believe God's able? I believe God's able. Look what the scripture says. God, not only about that God's able, and we talked about his exceeding ability to provide, but the scripture says, above all that we ask and think. So not only his ability, above what his ability to provide, but also his abundance in his provision. How he cannot just provide a little bit, and sometimes we act like God's on starvation. Somebody said, well, God will have to put the, you know, if necessary, God will put the angels on half rations to provide for his youngins. That's a cute phrase. It just ain't true. God ain't never put half of nothing. God ain't got no shortages. He ain't got no cutbacks. He ain't got no rollbacks. Nothing. None of the above. It's not that way. He's able to do all, the Bible says, above all that we asked from God. And then he said all that we assume about God. He said all that we can ask or all that we can think. And then he says this. We mention the magnitude of God's ability. But then think of this in this last phrase. The method of God's acting. Look what the scripture says. According to the power that worketh in us. What is the power that worketh in us? Sweet Holy Ghost. And I'm satisfied, friends, that if we, I just briefly mentioned this morning, I know a preacher and he keeps a little white dove on his pulpit all the time, little white dove. And I wondered what that was for, and this is what he told me. He said, I'm reminded how quickly a dove, even if you want to feed a dove, you walk out the door to feed them, put the seed out, they'll fly off. They're just so easily spooked. He said, the Holy Spirit's like a little white dove. He's easily spooked. It don't take much in my life to spook the Holy Ghost. It don't take much in my life to spook the Spirit of God. And it's that same Spirit of God that's working. It's the same Spirit of God that's, hey, we've got desires to do things for Him, but where are those desires coming from? They're coming from the sweet Holy Ghost on the inside. And the Scripture talks about how that He maketh groanings for us that cannot be uttered. Now, the tongue crowd says that that's what that is, but they're uttering. Scripture says it can't be uttered. Can't be uttered, can't be voiced. I wonder how much praying the Holy Ghost does in our stead. And I'd say it this way, He's the third person of the Trinity, but that doesn't mean first, second, third. It means He's the third person of the Godhead. And if He's doing the praying, don't you reckon the first person, the second person, they're in unison. God the Father is never divided in any situation. In other words, it's just very simple. If we allow our God's desires to become our desires, God's going to answer. And God will move mountains. So verse number 20, the greatness of God. Now, look in verse number 21. And I want to say that just as Paul revealed the greatness of God for the Christians in verse 20, Paul reveals the glory of God in the church in verse number 21. Look what the scripture says. Unto Him be glory in the church. Glory in the church. This glory comes from the saints in the church. Can you imagine a church giving glory to God the Father? Have you ever thought about in the foreknowledge of God, He looked down through time and He saw all the organizations on earth. I mean, there's some good ones. And God said, I can't use that one, and I can't use that one, and I can't use that one, and I can't use that one. And so God in His foreknowledge created not an organization, but an organism. He's the head. And I don't know what, somebody said, preacher, what are we? I don't know what part of the body we are. I guess we occupy a little bit of everything. But if we're just the tip of a fingernail, if we're just a fingernail of the body of Christ, then happy day. What a glorious thing that is. Just to get to be there ain't no ingrown toenails in the body of Christ, but I'd be glad to be an ingrown toenail, wouldn't you? Just to get to be something, to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's what we are. And you say, well, I don't understand how that works. Well, it's I don't understand either. Exactly. But I know this, it works. I may not know how it works, but I know that it works. Okay? I know it works. I don't understand how them swap flocks of birds. You ever watched them? You ever watch birds that swirl? You ever watch that? You ever seen them? They'll take off and they'll get it, and then they'll all swirl, and then they'll all light at the same time, and then they'll all take off at the same time. You know, I understand how that happens, because every one of them birds has got an individual brain. Every one of them birds is in cape, has got its own wings. Every one of those birds has its own desire, what it wants to do. Maybe there's a big old juicy worm laying down there that it wants. But rather, it stays in that flock, and they do all of these. The same thing to watch these fish, and to watch the fish balls, and to watch the swirls, and how that they move together. I don't understand that, because they don't have a collective brain, and yet they work collectively. I don't understand a colony of ants. They all have one objective. You ever mess with ants? I love to play with ants. I'll get me a little stick or something, and I'll lay it across the trail. They'll walk up to it, and they'll come through, and that one, he'll take his antenna, and he'll touch it. And he'll touch it with this one. Then he'll touch it again. Then he'll touch it again. And then he gets kind of panicked, and he'll either go over it, he'll go around it, because the one in behind him has done run into him. You know, they're running in convoy, and they'll figure it out. And usually they'll go around it. Sometimes they'll dig under it. Sometimes they'll crawl over it. But it ain't going to hold up. No, it ain't going to stop no show. One monkey ain't going to stop no show, son. They're going to keep it going. And they're going to go, and they do what they do because they do what they do. Bees are another instance. Each bee has its own, you know, its own instinct, I guess. It's collecting, but it's collecting for the collective. And everything it does is for the good. And it will give its life for the good of the colony. Isn't that something? And for the protection of the queen. And he thinks nothing about giving his life. He thinks nothing about giving his life for the protection of the queen. And they all work together, and they all work for the same. Hive gets too warm, or gets too warm, they'll fan. They'll get in there and they'll fan the larvae, keep it from getting too hot in there. If it gets too cold, they'll swarm up. We had honey dripping out of outlet in a house that we remodeled in the cottage. And I found them, and back in the fall, I found them. They'd come in and out next to the chimney. I saw them going out. They had a place war where they're going in and out. So I knew we had bees in the house. I don't know what to do about them. So I got one of our firemen in the church to get the ultraviolet, or the, what's it called? Not ultraviolet, infrared. The infrared camera from the fire department. And it's used to look inside of walls. And you can see heat in a wall. And they go through and they look to see if there's any fire in the walls. There's a helmet that you can wear. And then there's a gun-looking thing that you look through. And depending on what department it is, some of them's got a visor and a helmet. They can see that infrared. And they can look and see heat signatures based on the visor. Others have the handheld thing. Well, they brought the handheld thing. And they went over there and they started going up and down the wall. And there's a warm spot right in the middle of the wall. Those bees were creating enough energy to keep that hive from freezing. And they kept that hive warm. And so they went in there. A friend of ours is a beekeeper, took a sheetrock cutter, went there and cut out, and knew exactly where to cut and opened the beehive up. Yeah. We got honey out of that thing. Kids got to watch them take it out. I got pictures. No, nobody got stung. Not a single bee. They were just as docile as they could be. It's amazing. And robbed all the honey, took them all out, relocated them, and put them in another place. What are you saying, preacher? I don't understand how that those bees operate as one unit, but they do. I don't understand how all the different things in nature that have all the different brains and all the different every part, and yet they all work as a collective unit. Well, I can tell you how the church does it. It's called the Holy Spirit. I don't understand how a bee does it. I don't understand how a bird in a swarm does it. I don't understand how a fish does it. But I know how Christians do it. We're all tuned into the same radio frequency. God says, turn right, everybody turns right. And God don't say, turn left, so there you go. And God says, move, everybody moves. if we're all in step, if we got our headset turned up, if we're listening, if we're to where we can hear it, if we don't have the things of the world coming in and overriding the signal. The scripture says, unto him be glory in the church, a church given glory. But then he says, by Christ Jesus. That first one's from the saints, this second one's from the Savior. And it is a Christ given glory. He says, by Christ Jesus. You know this. Christ is that grace name. And he puts it first. How God would allow us to give him glory. Remember the loaves the other day? It had leaven in them. Leaven's a type of sin. How could sinners ever bring glory to God? But they can. It's part of God's plan. That's how he does it. He could have chosen angels, but he didn't. Instead, he chose you and I. He chose sinners by the grace of God. There's a church-given glory. There is a Christ-given glory. But this is what he says throughout all ages. Can I say there's a continuous giving of glory? Just as, it is forever. It's from the saints, it's from the Savior, and it will forever be seen. There's a continuing giving of glory. God gets glory by the organism, the church, minding him and moving in accordance to his plan and in accordance to his will. The scripture says, throughout all ages, in every age. No doubt we're living in the post-Christian era. That's where we are. We're in the post-Christian era. And while we had a bit of revival under President Trump, now people hate Christians worse than they ever have because of Trump and because of that whole mess. And so now we're thought less of than we've ever been thought of. And the religious right is considered domestic terrorist in this nation. And that's what they think of it. But the bottom line, the Bible says, glory by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, including this one. But preacher, we're in the Laodicean age, including this one. My friend, it wasn't pretty during the Dark Ages. It wasn't pretty even during the Reformation. It wasn't pretty in a whole lot of the ages that we could go down through and talk about the different ages that the seven churches of Asia Minor represent. There were some really not pretty pictures during those days. But the scripture says in every age, throughout all ages. And notice what he didn't say. He didn't say unto the age. He said throughout the age. So as long as this age is here, he's going to get glory in the church right here through this age. Had a man ask me at the door this morning. He said, I don't understand this, preacher. I said, what's that? He said, I don't understand how y'all do what you do. He said, I see how many people are here this morning. He said, and I do not understand how you do what you do. He said, there's got to be something more to this. And I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's something more. There's something bigger, yeah, there's something. You got that one right, yeah. Yeah, there's something. There's a bunch of churches. There's a great big Savior, hallelujah. Through his churches, there's a great big Savior. And so, hallelujah. The glory is to God in every age, including this one. Throughout all ages. And then the glory is to God in an eternal acknowledgement. He says, world without end. As long as there's a world, God's going to be getting glory to himself. God's going to be getting glory to himself. And that's why we were created. That's our purpose. This is why we're here. This is why we're alive. This is why we live and breathe and have our being, is because we're designed to bring glory to God. So he affirms the everlasting glory due to God in the first part of verse 21. And then notice his amen for the eternal glory due God. God amens himself. And the word amen means what about that? Or stop and watch. Look at this. What about that? The Holy Ghost says, gives us the truth. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the Holy Ghost says, amen. I'm not the only one that's astounded by it. The Holy Ghost amened himself. What about God? They could take a ragtag. What about God? That could take a bunch of, sinners, glue them together by his grace and make a body and make an organism that would confound the wise and that would confound the world. What a big God it takes to do that. If God took the strong things, somebody say, But he doesn't. He takes the weak things, the base things. He takes not that unleavened offering, but he takes the offering that's got leaven in it. Sinners, a bunch of sinners. And he brings that thing together in such a way that it makes him look good. And that's what bringing glory means. It makes him look good. I probably wouldn't have done it that way. That's not the way I think. That's the way God thinks. That's what he chose. Of all the things that could have been brought out there that day, hard for me to believe there wasn't nothing among 5,000 people, plus men and women, plus women and children, there wasn't nothing but a little lad with a little lunch and a couple of loaves. And that's all that was out there. That's all they could find of the whole outfit. But God wanted to use something so minuscule and so minute to do such a great work with it that it would be the only miracle that would be contained in all four of the Gospels. It's the only one. And he magnified it four different times. He magnified that miracle, what God did. There's more in that thing. I'm still digging on it. There's more there. There's way more there. We ain't scratched the surface on that thing. It's way bigger than we are. And God did it, but he took that little... I said, but and poor old Philip, he was running well. He was doing so good. He said, we got loaves and fishes, five loaves, two fishes. Lord, we got five loaves, two fishes. And if you'd have kept his mouth shut, we'd have been happy. We'd have said, what a man of faith. But he said, but what are these among so many? He put it right down on human level with us, didn't he? God said, I'll take it. What's that in your hand, Moses? A rod. I'll take it. What's that in your hand, Samson? Jawbone of an ass. I'll take it. What's that in your hand? Five loaves and two fishes. I'll take it. Goes, God don't need that. He could create it out of nothing, but God uses what we have to do what we can't. And God blesses us in the midst of it. And he blesses us for the increase. God gives the increase, then he turns and blesses us for the increase. I don't understand it. And the further we go, church, the longer we go, the further we go, the more I don't understand it. And I know I've been acting pretty crazy lately. I admit to it. I'm just telling you. We on a little in something big, church. This thing's, my soul. And it may be rapture. We may be getting ready to leave. If so, hallelujah. Even so, come quick, Lord Jesus. Let's just go for here right now from the night. If it wasn't for the thought of some loved ones that may not leave with us, that's the only drawback. That's the only drawback we got. Friends, neighbors, relatives, work, co-workers. We just had the assurance they'd go. But I ain't got to go back to the house and get a thing. You hear me? Amen. I ain't got to get a thing. I'm good. I'm good. So that'll be in a yard. Everything I own will be in a yard sale one of these days. Will be 10 cents on the dollar. Ain't nobody care. Yeah. This snow. God's up to something. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what in all God's going to do. I never dreamed that we'd be laying plans to buy a compound in South America just because it grew to the abundance that it has. I never dreamed that we'd be looking at that. But we're there. We got to. We don't have any choice. We've got to make plans. We've got to move. We got to go forward. It's just there. And it's getting bigger by the day. And we're not trying for it to get bigger. People are coming to us, and it's overtaking us. I'm not out here trying to set land speed records. That's not what this is. No, people are coming to us. The Overton boys come to us and said, would you? Will you? Will you help us? Pastor Virginia Beach said, will you help us? Will you do this? Will you take this? What do you say? No. We got property in that name. We got missionaries under that name. Out of necessity, yeah, we got to take it. Yeah, no choice in the matter. Can you imagine? Did you ever think we'd have members that can't speak English? Oddly, Benji, I mean, just a very little bit. We have to have translators. Even when they joined the church, we had to translate. The whole ordination was bilingual. Had to be. I'm so used to it now. I mean, that's just common. It's just a commonplace thing doing bilingual work now because we do so much work in South America. It is all the time. God just does it. And sometimes I get in the pulpit and pause. I'm waiting for the translation. And I go, oh, I'm in English. Okay, it's all right. Did y'all speak English? I'm telling you. And who knows how many more times. Listen, it would surprise me if God replicates 3232 Hendersonville Highway in South America. Be a bit surprised. And I believe we're well on our way for replicating it in the Philippines. If it's up to Akbar, we'd replicate it in Pakistan. And Sam's about two-thirds of the way replicating it in India already. And if Jeremy has anything to do with it, he'll replicate it in Mongolia. Are you listening to me? And all over America. You say, well, preacher, they can't do that. Well, we couldn't do this. So what's the holdup? What's the problem? As sure as God did this, and he did, he can do that if it be his will. Yeah. Now unto him that is able.